Merry Christmas. Thank you. Okay. I am happy to see you all, so thanks for coming to worship. I'm really thankful that Pastor Carter just talked about the discipline of worship, because it is a thing that I'm going to be talking about today. Fruitfulness and dominion in the new year. And I don't know about you, but last year, 2020, Christmas, I was so excited. It was just, that's of course an appropriate emotion on just such a difficult and frustrating year, no matter how you saw it. So I looked forward to the first coming, remembering the first coming of our Savior. And then maybe when you look at this last year, you have similar feelings. Maybe you've been frustrated by different things that have happened around you or us or to us. Keeping that in mind, I want you to consider something as I speak today. Have you heard of the 30,000-foot view? Have you heard of that concept? That concept is this idea that if you are looking at all the things that are happening to you, and if you pull back and try and look at the bigger picture, you'll be able to get through hardship. You'll be able to see things that you didn't see before. So the 30,000-foot view. But we have so much, we actually have something better than a 30,000-foot view as believers in Christ. We have the eternal foot view. We have all of eternity to look forward to, and we can look at these afflictions in the light of eternity. We know what's going to happen in the end. Spoiler alert, I read the script, and God wins. Jesus is going to return, and he will rule his enemies with an iron rod. He will slay the dragon, and he gets the girl in the end. Even though we have an eternal foot view, as I said, we still struggle with loneliness and depression, or we are overwhelmed with what we're seeing in the world. I've had great struggle these last years, especially towards the end of 2020 and into this year. And I want to share something with you that I feel like God has been teaching me, and that is, how can we be fruitful this next year? In fact, next week, I believe Pastor Jeff is going to be talking about fruitfulness in John 15. So you're going to get two fruitfulness sermons in a row, which is awesome, because it's a good thing. It's a good thing that God wants to give you. So what we're going to do now is read the three scriptures. Okay, we're going to read the three scriptures that I'm going to be covering today. So I'm going to read those, and if you would stand up as I read the word. So the first passage is Genesis 1:28, starting 1:28. It says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living creature that moves on the earth.'" Genesis 9:1-3 says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and every bird of the heaven, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. As I gave you the green plants, I give you everything.'" And then Matthew 28:18-20, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age.'" This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and have a seat. Let me pray one more time because it's good. Father, we come to you and I come to you humbly. Lord, I have been humbled greatly by this sermon prep. And so, Lord, I am preaching to myself just as much as to everyone here. And I thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And sharp things cut. But not like a weapon of destruction, but like a surgical knife. Lord, I ask that you would cut us to heal us. So as I say some hard things, we know that the better things come right after it. Lord, be with our hearts as we hear from the word. Help me to say true things in Jesus' name. Okay. So in Genesis, we get a call. What's that? Okay. We get a call for mankind to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and have dominion or rule over the earth. And this, mind you, is before the fall, of course, and there is no sin, but it seemed the earth needed tamed. Maybe Adam and Eve were to make all of the earth like the garden where they had access to God. As we know, sin then came shortly after that, but we have no reason to believe that that mandate to the first people were made null and void. In fact, as we read in Genesis 9, 1 through 3, after Noah and his family exited the ark, they got a similar command from God. Both pictures show us an empty earth that was filled, that was to be filled with imagers of God. As I go into the subject about being fruitful, I will, of course, talk about children. And I want you to know, as we start, I unapologetically, that we're going to be talking about having children and having a lot of them, if possible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you cannot or do not have children that you're less spiritual. I want to say that. In fact, we know many people who are in Scripture who did not have children, including Jesus and the Apostle Paul, who said he wished that everyone could be like him, totally devoted to the Lord, without spouse or children. But the first two texts I read were actually about having children. But we're going to actually talk about spiritual fruit too. So, yeah, fruit is not just about having children. Okay. Fruit is not just about... Oh, that is helpful. Maybe I'm my iPad is doing that. So, okay. Yeah, fruit is not just about having children. There is fruit that comes from good actions. Paul talks about reaping and sowing in Galatians. As believers, we are commanded to bear fruit. And Pastor Jeff will talk about this more, like I said, next week. Man is not like the angels in heaven. Angels were created, and the full amount was created. But humans are created to have children, and it is good. Maybe we should switch over to the hand mic. I got this one. Okay, let's do this. I don't like that sound. How about you? No thanks. All right. That was distracting. Okay. So, yes, we're not like the angels. The angels were all created all together, all at once. God created humans in a special way where we needed to reproduce and make more of us. And this is a beautiful thing. This is a wonderful thing. The church is made up of families, right? And families make up the church, and then the families make up cities, and families make up cities and states and empires. This is the natural order. But that being said, no other time in history have we seen such an assault on God's order. The assault on male and female is an attack on the image of God. According to Pastor Michael Foster, he says, we are made to complement each other to such a degree that the creation mandate is impossible without male and female. God created us that way to make a point. Male and female are needed to create new life and to grow God's kingdom and to rule through these children. We are to be a family made up of to make up a larger family. We see that God is Father and that Jesus is Son. Romans 8, 16 through 17 says this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. You are in the family of God if you believe in him. Doesn't that blow your mind? Have you ever thought of that? Look around. Look around you. All of these people, I don't care if you're married or not, have kids or not, you are a part of a beautiful family in Christ. This is such a beautiful thing. But we, again, are seeing an attack on the image of God as we have never seen in our generation or other previous generations. Sure, there has been deviancy in sexual roles and attack upon children. In Scripture, we see people sacrificing their children to Molech. But at the very least, there was an understanding that households were to be built, and that is how civilization is expanded. And you see that in Genesis. Adam and Eve were the first household. It is that household that was to be fruitful and grow. So today we see this natural order that God instituted in Genesis being attacked right down to the atoms. The atoms being individuals. We read in our Bible, it says, male and female, he created them. But our culture will say, stop shoving your dogma down our throats. You know gender is a social construct made to control us. You need to be free and have choice. You need to be like God, controlling every aspect. Now, I know they don't say that, but that's what they're saying. They're saying, I get to choose what gender I'll be. I'm like God. I get to control reality. That sounds familiar to me. Sounds like when Adam and Eve were confronted with the serpent's original lie that we could be like God, knowing good and evil. We are being offered that same lie. You can be like God. You can control everything. You can have plastic surgery. You can grow crops in the middle of the desert. We're looking at colonizing Mars. That's crazy. And so you can even control your own gender. That's what the thinking is. And I'm here to say, no, you can't. God passed down to us this order for our benefit. God created humans, male and female, to build households through marriage, to be fruitful and multiply. And the more our culture walks away from this order, the worse things will be in our society. Here are some statistics for you. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, national and state population estimates and components of change, the population of the United States grew in the past year by 392,665 people. Or 0.1%, the lowest rate since our nation's founding. And we have a lot more people, by the way, but fewer people, right? Since our country has been a country, it has never been that low. When I read that, I was kind of shocked.
The Census Bureau also reports that 17.8% of households in the United States are made up of married parents with children. 17.8%. In 1970, that stat was at 40%. The birth rate in 1970 was almost 17 people for every 1,000 people. In 2021, it was 12. So if you wonder why things are so crazy now, our culture, and for that, the entire world is rebelling against God in a way and on a scale that we have never seen. It is a war on fruitfulness. The battles against gender, battles against godly masculinity and godly femininity, battles against marriage and the family, and the bloodiest of all battles is what has happened against children. Abortion is rampant. There have been, and when I read this stat, I couldn't believe it, and so I tried to prove it wrong, and it's not wrong. There have been over 40 million abortions this year in our world. This year. It seemed insane when I read that. In the USA, the CDC said back in 2019 that 629,898 babies were aborted. For some perspective, 350,000 people died last year from COVID in 2020. And I know you might be saying, how does that have anything to do with abortion? But if we were willing to stop going to church for a month, close businesses, wear masks, get shots, I want you to ask yourself, what are you willing to do for abortion? A much deadlier disease. The children that are born are taught perversion in the schools and through the media and peers. And here is the cherry on top of our sad little ice cream sundae. The evangelical church is bleeding out. Children apostatize at a staggering rate of 64%. And so I want to stop for a moment and pray right now. Father in heaven, oh my God, what crushing and terrible news. In Jeremiah 32:35, you say this, they built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Or Matthew 18, it says, see that you do not despise one of my little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for that verse. We thank you that Jesus tells us not to despise these little ones. Help us to do that. Help us to change our attitude. Lord, forgive us. Forgive our nation. Forgive the world. In Isaiah 49:15, it says, can a woman forget her nursing child that she shall have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Lord, I can't comprehend it. All around the world, this is happening. This hatred of life, of fruitlessness, Satan and his angels are laughing that we would just murder ourselves. Lord, please forgive us. Help us to turn to you. Help us to change our lives, yet you will not forget us. You have given us the tools to fight Satan, the tools to heal, and these tools lie in the family of God. In Jesus' name, we pray. So I am here to tell you that we do not need to think of ourselves on our back foot, that we are ready to be knocked over. That is not true. God has a remnant, and he is calling us to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over the earth. So how do we do this? We get back to the basics. First, we are to worship. We are here for a reason. It is a discipline, and it is good. Worship is spiritual, theological, and world-changing warfare when done correctly. Hebrews 12, 28, and 29 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." When we believe in Jesus, we inherit an unshakable kingdom. No amount of politics, no amount of COVID variants, no amount of cancer, nothing can shake God's kingdom. And thus, because we stand on it, because nothing can startle or surprise God, we can worship him in reverence and in awe. Worship is our weapon. In Colossians 3, Paul says this in verses 16 and 17, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The word is being taught and obeyed, singing and psalms, spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts. We need to be gathering and being strengthened. We gather into the bigger family. No matter what our situation looks like, this is to be family. As we gather, we become fruitful in worship. This worship is grounded in the word. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus used scripture to defeat him. The Bible is our weapon. We read it here on Sundays. We read it out there in our homes. We obey it here when we worship, and we obey it out there. When Jesus was preparing for his crucifixion, he and his disciples sang hymns and songs and observed communion. In Acts 16, 25, Paul and Silas were in prison praying and singing, and all the prisoners were listening to them worship. And the jailer and many of them became believers. All of these things we must do. We pray, we sing, we repent. The word of God we have among us. There's communion. The church has done this even in the darkest of times. And the church has survived because God was with them. When we worship God, we are in the right place. We are girded by this, having the right mind. And I think you can include great things like Sunday school and Awana into this category, which makes me, again, step back into the realm of children again. Every time we have communion, we speak our covenant to one another. And here is part of that covenant. It says, "We covenant to train our children in the word of God by consistently teaching them about God." Ours, I believe, is a collective. We are collectively working with one another to raise up children. We are not to point to a family and say, "Well, that family has kids and I'm single, I don't have anything to worry about." Nope. If you are retired and an empty nester and the kids are out of the house, these are your kids too. If you are not able to have any kids for various reasons, these are your kids. the church is a family, and we want to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I taught Sunday school this summer, and I was fulfilling my covenant duty to you and your children. When you spend time in the nursery, when you volunteer for Awana and Vacation Bible School, you are participating in this covenant of our church. And I want to take a moment, and I want to thank everyone here that has spent time in the nursery, in Awana, in all of those things, Sunday school. Thank you so much for doing such a wonderful, wonderful good thing. It is awesome. Our culture wants to teach us that our kids are in our way to our happiness. And that is a satanic lie. It is not true. It is not true. And I want to preemptively thank anyone after this sermon who goes and volunteers for Awana in the nursery and Sunday school. So thank you. Thank you for doing that preemptively. I also forgot I was going to do this earlier. I want to thank everyone who helps us worship on Sundays. Thank you for those who come up and pray. Thank you for those who make slides. Thank you for sending out emails. Thank you for sending us crackly microphones. I'm just kidding. Sorry. Thank you. We have a microphone. Amen. That's good. I don't want to yell. Okay? We have all these things. Thank you. That's why it takes a family. It does take a lot of people, and it's a big family, and I'm thankful for you. So back to worship, getting into the word, praying, singing. These are all ways that you can prep yourself for this worship. So if you agree with me, and I hope you do, that worship is warfare, having kids in the service is so important. This is why we do not have children's church. We are training our kids to see the importance of worship. And you know what? I don't always get to listen to the sermon. I don't even remember the last time I got to listen to a whole sermon when my kids were with me. And that is okay, because it's not about me. We came to worship God. We did not come to worship me. And you know what? That's okay. Yeah. This is practice. This is practice. And so when you hear someone's kids getting a little rowdy, it's practice. Come on. You don't yell at kids in T-ball, do you? And if you do, you should pray. This is practice. The real game is out there, outside. So we are cultivating our love for God. We're cultivating our love for children, the next generation, and we need to think future. There are implications of what is being done right here and right now. There are implications, possibly for generations, God willing. Generations. So now we're going to walk into dominion. I'm going to read a very important text. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his glory and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of the result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Christians, all of those terrible things that I shared earlier, they are scary and terrible, but God, he saved us, And it was not one thing that we've done. We are saved by grace, not by works, so that no one may boast. If we were not saved by good works, then there is no sin that cannot be forgiven if you come to Christ. So we are not saved by works, but we are saved to good works. We are not saved by good works. Our salvation is unmerited, but God calls us to good works, which God, this is Ephesians 2:10, it's right there, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Christians, you are not saved so that you can get through your Netflix queue. You are not saved so that you can go on a really sweet vacation. Not saying you can't, but that's not why you are saved. God has work for us to do. God's dominion and rule come through us on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? By his angels, his servants. How is it done here on earth? By believers who love Jesus. We are his servants. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and callings of the Lord are irrevocable. We are here to plow, to dig, to cultivate, to build, to create, to buy, to sell, to talk, rescue, raise children, read scripture, teach, pray, worship, all of these things. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. We are to do excellent things to glorify God. And I believe we are to do these things with God. As Adam walked with God in the cool of the garden, so we are walking with God while we are practicing dominion, which means rule. It brings God great joy to see us walk in those giftings and callings. As a father, when I see my children succeed and get better at something, it brings me great joy. Just like that, we are the family of God, and he is our father, and he wants us to do great things. He wants us to develop skills. He wants us to learn new things and become, and as we do this, we take on our true identity. I don't know about you, but I like using quality tools when I do use them. I remember when I first used a DeWalt drill. I've always used just like Black & Decker or something like that. We were over at the school cleaning up, and I was with Craig Anderson, and we were fixing these tables, putting new wood, and he handed me the DeWalt. I was just like, zoop, and it went right down, and then it twisted my hand a bit. I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is not work. This is fun. When you have tools that are excellent, work is fun. And God has made you are his workmanship for a reason, to do good things that he has for you. Building businesses, building practices, driving trucks, sweeping floors. You are creating and beautifying the earth when you're sweeping a floor. Yeah. We are making the world a better place when we exercise our true identities in Christ. We are to be going out from worship on Sundays and taking over the world. Monday through Saturday. Our weapons or tools to do this conquering start with believing Jesus. That's our first. And then worshiping God. the word, prayer, singing. We can use a pen to worship God in this way, a calculator, a shovel, a computer. We can use love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humilities, and self-control. All of these things are our tools that he's given us to go out. And when the world sees us worshiping God and doing great things for God, with God, that's how we show them. We show them that self-worship, it doesn't work. You don't have the capacity to fill yourself. Only God does. And so now we go to Matthew 18 to finish up. And Jesus came to them and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, being fruitful and exercising dominion includes spreading the knowledge of Jesus Christ to all. While we are conquering through engineering for the glory of God, you are to be declaring to those around you who Jesus is. While you are helping with your grandchildren, you are to be sharing with them the wonders of God. While you are driving a truck delivering goods, you're to do it to the glory of God and get on that CB and share the forgiveness of Christ. As I said before, Adam walked in the cool of the garden. Jesus promises in this verse that I just read, he promises to be with us. He doesn't leave us to our own devices. I've taught you all that I can. Now go. See you later. Hope that works out for you. No. He is with us until the end of the age. As far as I know, that age hasn't ended yet. We are to go to the ends of the earth. We are like heralds, riding to the ends of the earth, sharing that there is a new king in power and that all are under his dominion. He is calling all to join him and not just become his servants, but become his family. Satan wants to destroy the family. Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil so that the world could become his family, his true family. It doesn't make sense, but it's true. We are seeing the restoration of Eden. God is with us. We have a part of it already. It's the already and not yet, right? We have the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, but we are waiting for Christ to return. Jesus is sitting on his throne, ruling right now. So, how do we see the world and our nation get off this crazy train? How do we fight the disease of something like abortion or anti-family? Well, we take the vitamins of worship every week and every day. We show up as an individual or as a family. And we show the good and proper order that God has made is good. We show that. We gather as the larger family and show that there is room for all. We take the shot of dominion and go out and do wonderful works that demand gospel answers. And finally, we unmask the beauty of Jesus Christ and his gospel, that all are welcome to come to the glorious family reunion. Let me start over again, sorry. We are to show that all are welcome to come to the glorious family reunion, that all who believe can attend the marriage supper of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gospel. A gospel so powerful that it can cover the most wicked sins. A gospel that is perfect and complete, and that there is no condemnation and nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that if anyone here has had an abortion, or that if they've repented, that they would know that they are clean. Lord, help them to walk in the absurdity of the gospel full of forgiveness. Father, help us to fight abortion, that we would pray and that we would come to the aid of these little ones. Lord, give us wisdom on how to do that. And I know one way to do that is to show that families are good. So help us to do that. Lord, there is no sin that can separate us from you. So we are thankful, and help us, again, it is absurd that we do wicked things, but that you call us to yourself and say, I will forgive you. Lord, help us to find people who are ready to do that. Father, help us change our minds when it comes to children. Help parents to see that this is one of the ways that we are to grow the church. Children are not in the way. Thank you for the beautiful picture that we see in the gospel where the disciples are trying to keep the little children away from Jesus, and Jesus says, nope, bring them to me. These children are not in the way. When they cry out during the service, they are not in the way. We should say, praise God. Lord, help us to expand your kingdom the way Jesus taught us to expand it, to make disciples, that no matter where we are in life, we can make disciples. This is the way for all to be fruitful and exercise dominion by speaking your gospel all over the world. Father, help us to encourage one another to love and good deeds that you prepared in advance for us to do. Give the elders wisdom to help everyone step into their wondrous calling. You have given us these giftings and callings so that we can walk with you in unique ways, that we are to use these to expand your kingdom and to bless the world. Help us to be excellent, that the works you've called us to will come with demands from the world asking, why is this happening? Give us the strength to declare Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and because I believe in him and follow him, that I am his family. So now come and join our family. Help us to say that to other people. Come and join us. Join our family where you are loved and whole. Reignite our first love so that we can practice fruitfulness and dominion in a meaningful way this new year. I pray this in the authority that Jesus shares with those who believe. Amen.